the deployment of the SANDF to the Western Cape and Gauteng. Last week, the President announced the arrival of the SANDF to the Cape Flats. While the logistics, of course, and deployment dates and all of the rest is still to be announced, the President essentially deploying the finance, or not the finance, the SANDF rather, got finance minister on the brain, but the SANDF to these areas to support the work of the South African police services. Yesterday we had a conversation around the constitutionality of it, etc., and the role that the SANDF ordinarily plays, and sort of getting a sense as to how we navigate around the SANDF and their presence on the, on let's say, the Cape Flats or here in the Western Cape. But importantly, we felt it would be a good opportunity to also hear from the SANDF themselves. We are joined on the line by Siphiwe Dlamini, the Head of Communications for the Department of Defence and Military Veterans. Siphiwe, good morning. Thank you so much for your time.
Good morning to you and to your listeners, and thanks for having me on the station.
It's an absolute pleasure. Now, it's not the first time that the SANDF will be deployed, particularly here in the Western Cape. And I think perhaps, yes, there were some constitutional issues raised in terms of what role the SANDF plays. From your perspective at the SANDF, how do you foresee the role of essentially the army on the streets of the Western Cape and Gauteng? And what is it that our listeners and community members across these provinces need to know and understand?
Look, you're correct. We've deployed before, and the law allows us to be deployed internally as long as it's in support of the South African Police Service. We work in a way that we support the police in terms of us being in the periphery and making sure that when the police conduct their work or raids or roadblocks or whatever program they have, we are there to support them. We are not the lead entity in this regard, because we are essentially an organization that looks after the interest of the country should there be any challenges from externally. But internally, we're also able to assist any and other government departments, not just only the subs. So in this case, when we put our program together, the subs will indicate where there are challenges and how those challenges should be dealt with. So as a lead department, the subs will be doing the planning, but together with us, and we bring in the manpower and support, whatever support subs will need. And you'll recall that this is an intervention by the defense force in support of the subs, not without subs. That must be very clear.
Yeah. How do, I guess, the from the perspective of the SANDF, how do they sort of navigate the taking the Western Cape as an example, the day-to-day sort of realities, right? Crime is rife in many of these communities. So let's say that if the SANDF, while being on the periphery of particular operations, were to be witness to a crime, do they have the ability to essentially apprehend suspects in a situation like that, etc., etc.?
We do have, as long as we are as long as we conduct that particular operation with a member of SAPS, or we apprehend that person and hand over to SAPS, that is the role that we will be playing, supporting. If SAPS is not there, for argument's sake, we will still apprehend but hand over that person or whatever is happening to the SAPS members. Like I said in your introduction, you mentioned we've worked with SAPS before in the Western Cape, and there are those modalities that I think we do not need to reinvent the wheel, probably just perfect those modalities and get on with our work to assist the people of the Western Cape.
Yeah. As it then relates to the sorts of the understanding that the communities that will be seeing the SANDF perhaps out on the streets, you know, conducting operations alongside and in support of the South African Police Services, what should they know about the the overall engagement and the role that the SANDF plays. We also often see, unfortunately, instances here in the Western Cape when SAPS members, along with local law enforcement, go out to to raid particular properties or to go out to do certain operations, that they are essentially attacked in many instances as well. And so what is it that I guess you want to leave our listeners with in terms of understanding, yes, the role of the SANDF in support of the South African police, but broadly speaking, the navigation around that.
Yeah, I that's a very important point. The community must realize that the SANDF is a community organization. What am I saying? We come from these communities ourselves. We're part of this community ourselves. So we're there, not because we want to be there, but we're there to help the communities and create an atmosphere of safety, an atmosphere of security, and working with them would be even an added value. So they must be aware that we're not there to do anything to them, but they also should be aware of the fact that if they protect what people that are deemed to be criminals, they will be working against the law enforcement, and therefore they are likely also to be arrested. So they must realize that we're not there for any other purpose but to protect them from these activities which are unlawful, and to also make sure that they live in a very peaceful and secure environment. So the respect of the law becomes key in this regard, whether it's the SANDF or the South African Police Service. I think respect of the law and allowing law enforcement agencies to do their work, it becomes more critical. And we do appreciate any support from the communities that we will be working in their areas.
Do we have any ideas to timeline for the deployment?
Look, the expectation is that this should be done as quickly as possible. However, there are legal processes that we need to follow besides the planning of how the operations will be carried out. The South African National Defense Force can be only deployed by the president after certain legal processes have been followed. For instance, there must be approval by parliament of such deployment, and the president will have to write to parliament and informing them about the number of troops that is deploying, the length of the period that is deploying them, and obviously the cost that will be the cost of that deployment. He has to inform Parliament formally and the National Council of Provinces. And thank you for having us here.
It's an absolute pleasure.